We have meteorologist Jim Corbin live in studio. First of all, good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Dob.
Why don't we give us our listeners another full update on the forecast?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, what a dazzling morning this morning coming through the towns here into Attleboro. And, of course, we're changing the leaves pretty good, although they're not as vibrant. We could talk about that maybe a little bit later. But we're going to reach the upper 60s this afternoon. Very wide range in temperature. This is the complete opposite of what we had last week, where you might remember we were in the 60s during the day and only falling to the 50s at night because of cloud cover. Well, we've had two or three nights in a row now and early mornings where it's been mostly clear. And that's why the temperatures have fallen into the low and mid-40s. Again, got nice response, though, this afternoon. Clear tonight, falling to the upper 40s. And it's more of the same tomorrow. As I've said this morning, I think tomorrow, by a few degrees, is likely the warmest day of the week, about 70. Maybe even a few low 70s. And then as we get into Saturday, sunshine followed by increasing clouds and some rain showers at night, not due to the hurricane. That would have been the rough timetable, Saturday night into Sunday, that the northern jet stream hook, as I've been calling it, would have picked up the storm and brought it our way, or at least somewhere nearby. So we're just going to get a few showers Saturday night. Saturday's highs, mid to upper 60s. That'll depend on how thick the clouds can move in the afternoon. But I think if you have generally planned Saturday, through most of the day it should be dry. And if we can time it out just right, again, any showers would be Saturday night. And then on Sunday, it's increasing sunshine. The front sweeps things out, and we'll have increasing sun. So Saturday is increasing clouds. Sunday is increasing sun. Highs a little cooler, though, and a little breezy on Sunday, likely in the low 60s. And then 50s, it looks like upper 50s probably on Columbus Day. Dry conditions, though, so nice, invigorating weather. You know, it's October now, almost mid-October, coming up on that anyway. And you have to expect to wear maybe a good sweatshirt or a light jacket outside. And then right now, I think Tuesday and Wednesday look dry as well. So, you know, for here, we're looking fine. I mean, just kind of typical October weather, best month of the year, as I'm concerned.
Mm, yeah, and some, as you said, some of the leaves are starting to see a little bit of a change. Some of the higher ones, even some of the lower ones, some of the trees, start to see, but they're not the bright colors yet.
No, and everything is a bit delayed. But more importantly, and I was going to talk about this, if we had the hurricane coming up, that would have stripped off a lot of these leaves. The leaves are already coming off because they're strained. So if we got the hurricane, not only obviously it's bad enough for other reasons, but we would have had almost the entire leaf population completely stripped off. It would have looked like a war zone of no leaves around, but you know, like it gets in the wintertime. But that obviously is not going to happen. But the leaves are, you know, certainly not as vibrant. And, of course, some have already fallen off early because they're stressed. They can't, you know, about a week ago, there was a day where there was almost no wind out there. And yet you saw leaves falling off the trees. It's almost like they've had it. You know, it's not enough rain, you know. So, but we'll still have some color for the next 2 or 3 weeks. But this is not one of the better foliage seasons. And if you've noticed, you haven't heard a lot of discussion about it, about, oh, yeah, go up into New Hampshire. Even up there, it's not that good.
Yeah, it's not as
it's
good
not, up there no. They've been in a drought, too. Not quite as bad as here, especially northern New England. Far northern New England has had a little more rain, but even there it's been below average. So it's been not a great foliage season. You haven't heard a lot of talk about it. But one thing it has been good for is outdoor activities. And it looks like, once again, you'll have some good weather up in Franklin later on this afternoon, and everyone else is there. And then the parades, anything going on this weekend. Farmer's market again. Looks like it's going to be fine weather for that. Again, just a little on the cool side of the morning early. But, you know, you can see your breath out there coming in this morning. But, you know, bright blue skies and really delightful. So we are living the good life, as I've said this morning. Other places aren't.
Yeah, as far as, you know, the everybody else here, you know, as we talked about, you know, this hurricane that's taking its turn now down here. I mean, I think you can kind of explain how that does that. I mean, I know that it still can go this way and that way, but, you know, it hits land here and there, it goes there, and then all of a sudden it's taking another turn to the right and further down now.
Well, we have the complications with this because not only do we have two jet streams that are kind of funky-looking jet streams, but we also have a second tropical storm out there, Nicole, which is south of Bermuda. Now, it's a tropical storm. It might briefly become a hurricane. I think the winds early this morning were 70 miles an hour. Compare that to about 125 with Matthew. And sometimes when you have these storms that are close by, they interact and they can sometimes wobble around each other. So the jet stream that has been following Matthew for most of the last week has generally been an east to west, and that generally is the trade wind jet stream this time of the year. And then as the trade winds weaken, the storms are captured or affected by the northern jet stream that all it has to do is kind of dip down nearby. That slows the trade wind jet stream and makes it turn north. And that's exactly what has happened since really, Monday or Tuesday, it started to turn north, went up into Haiti. Well, it threatened Jamaica a little bit, but Haiti, we talked about the infrastructure there. I've already seen the video out of there. I don't know. It looks like three quarters of us of a town was just devastated there, and a lot of it was the issue with tents. At any rate, then the storm was captured north. Now, the thinking was earlier in the week that this northern jet stream, which is going to be the front that brings us the showers Saturday night, was going to be dipping down further and would be able to capture Matthew somewhere just off the southeast coast of the Bahamas. If you look at all the tracks of the storms we've had in New England, almost 98% of them are generally taking the track through the Bahamas, and the northern jet stream dips down and accelerates it, sometimes north, sometimes northeast, or sometimes north-northeast, which is usually the worst case. That was on many of the models early this week. That was the worst case we were showing. Certainly a weaker hurricane than when it would be down there, but we were showing that general north, anywhere from north to northeast turn. It was not showing a shot back out to the east. Well, that trough is not far enough south to pick up Matthew. One model yesterday was still doing that. And we look at about, at least a half a dozen of them. And so now even that one has come on board. But all of them at this point are showing it not just scooting out to sea and going out in the middle of the graveyard of the North Atlantic like most of them do. It's going to start spinning back around. And in fact, some of the models, although a much weaker system, has it crossing back across South Florida next week, which would be, how insulting is that to get it twice hit after hitting almost the entire east coast of Florida, the coast of Georgia there, near Savannah, and then probably about as far north as Charleston. North Carolina now looks like it may escape the worst of it, maybe as far north as Wilmington, but then looping back around. And then it's in weak steering currents again, and it's going to wait until will the next trough to the north come by and try to lift it again. By that time, it will have been a weaker storm, and usually when they're weaker, they slide west. So that scenario of possibly drifting back into Florida as a much weaker system is right now something I would think. The problem is we also have that Nicole out there, which is going to – one of the models is actually showing Nicole merging with Matthew. It sounds a little suspicious.
Yeah, I know, really.
Matthew and Nicole getting together. No, but but I just thought of that now. Believe me, I did not have that plan to say. But they merge. And it has happened in the past.
I've seen this. Yeah, I was going to say, when was the last time something like smaller going into a bigger one?
Yeah, well, it's been a while. I can't remember exactly, but I know it has happened in the past. But if that were the case, then Nicole would draw back Matthew when Matthew would not go into Florida a second time. And then that would be the scenario where possibly it might be able to get kicked north by that next jet stream as a somewhat stronger system. So it's a real complication for the whole forecast cycle. But we may not actually be done with this storm or even both of them out there for at least another week. So the saga continues, as we say.
Yeah, it sounds like a soap opera down there. You know, what would happen if Matthew and Nicole, they finally get together and there's a huge thing and then all of a sudden
they'll have a wedding ceremony.
But, you know, as you said, that it is devastating. You know, you see a lot of the flooding in the Haiti area. As you said, Jamaica is actually going to be spared a little bit.
They got the western edge of it. Just like Cuba, sort of got the western edge, although they were closer to it. So there was more devastation in Cuba than there was in Jamaica. And I say devastation, I mean nothing compared to Haiti. But now it's the Bahamas. Nassau is going to get hit within the hour, I think, now. The eye getting very close to Nassau. And, of course, if you know that area, they've got the big hotel there. What's it called? It's like a 15-story hotel for tourists there, Atlantis, I think it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Atlantic, whatever it is.
Atlantis, something.
What they've done is all the the people that are in there, mostly obviously tourists, they've sent them down to the ballroom down at the base, which is because when you can almost add 10, 15 mile an hour winds every few stories you go up, especially down there where it's very flat. There's no, the terrain is so flat that there's nothing obstructing the wind. So same thing when in, and I we can talk about this maybe after, well, no, I guess we have time now.
We got Gina standing by right now. All right, Gina's back with us once again as we take our next look at the traffic out there. Gina?
A little bit of good news. 95 southbound, we had that crash in the left and center lane over by exit 27. That seems to have moved out of the travel lane, according to Rhode Island DOT. But the heavy traffic continues. We also have a crash clearing 4 south by Oak Hill on the left-hand side. If you're continuing all the way down through Rhode Island into Route 4, you've got a couple miles of backup trying to get down 4 south, heading down toward Oak Hill. So there's also some rubbernecking on the northbound side, thinking about that return trip there. So Route 2 or Route 1 will take you around that. 95 southbound, even though we're pretty much clearing out here in Pawtucket out of the travel lane, there's still a little bit of rubberneck factor as things wrap up. So 95 southbound is still heavy coming down from the state line. But then it opens up and you're looking good into downtown Providence. 295 looks great. No problems from 95 in Attleboro down to Johnston. The 295 south from Johnston down into Warwick is on the heavy side. So around Attleboro, last time we were together, talking about how it cleared out on 95 through Attleboro. It's looking good on the northbound side from the state line all the way up. And then you start to hit some traffic getting up toward Neponset Street. And then that continues to 95-93 split. 495 north back up into Milford. Expressway full and overflowing. 24 northbound still back to Route 27 with the stop-and-go traffic. We did have an accident, 195 eastbound by Reed Road. Good news, that's cleared out. We're looking much better there, but we have heavy traffic on 140 north by Kings Highway. Ongoing road work in that area, and that is the reason why. If you use Route 6 to get into downtown Providence, it's still kind of heavy, but only from around Hartford Avenue on in instead of Killingley Street, so that's a little bit better. And around Attleboro itself, your secondary roadways, not bad. County and Thatcher is on the heavy side, Pleasant by Lindsay, and North Main trying to get up toward the area of the ramp that takes you over toward the highway. We've got a little heavy traffic there, but a decent ride. Next report coming up. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
All right, Gina, thanks once again. Now, and more update on the weather for on the traffic update with Gina coming up in just a couple of moments. We've got meteorologist Jim Corbin in studio with us. If you'd like to give him a ring out there, it's 508-222-1320. He'll be here until 9 o'clock today. You know, going into some of this hurricane, as you said, Matthew may be going with Nicole down there. And just looking at the remaining names that we have, you know, if Matthew and Nicole came back, you know, went together again, you've got another one that we're not seeing anything right now in the tropics, but kind of a different name, almost like of a German name. Otto is the next name. You got Otto, Paula, Richard, Shari, Tobias, Virginie, not Virginia, and then the last one is Walter. So, are we looking at anything from Otto down the line?
Not at the moment. There is a system that's out there, well east of the islands again, and that might develop. It doesn't look like it's going to do anything soon, but it's an indication that we've already gone past what the average. We usually average about 10 storms, which is J. So we're already at M for Matthew, well, of course, Nicole, but Matthew right now of significance. And it's I was thinking this coming in, Matthew is the unlucky 13th storm of the season.
That's
so there
right.
You go with 13. But I bring that up, too, because 11, you're hearing about this is the first significant hurricane to hit Florida in over a decade. And in fact, it was 2005 with that Hurricane Wilma, where I tell the story that came in from the Gulf of Mexico and came across Fort Myers. So the wind in Florida, the worst of it was on the west coast with that, but it was such an intense storm initially that even by the time it got to the east coast, it had weakened a little bit. But my mother, my family were down there in the middle of it in Pompano Beach, and they stayed on the top floor. There were 15 floors in their condo, and because of the unusual wind direction from that Wilma, and of course, think of it, they were at the W storm, so that was one of the most active seasons. That's the season that they ran out of names, and they had to add the Greek alphabet, but at any rate, so they were up there, but on the west side, so in other words, for the east coast of Florida, the rule of thumb is to have your hurricane shutters on the ocean side. because that's where most of them are coming from. That's exactly what's going to go on today and tonight with Matthew. In 2005, Wilma came in from the other direction, but it was, as I said, it was so intense that even when it got to the East Coast, it was coming in from the land side, and so most of the people, including my family down there, did not have, they had the sunshine shutters, but they didn't have the storm shutters, and that side of the building was getting blown off. I could hear it. I was on the cell phone with them. I told them an hour or two, a few hours before, like, go down to the basement or the bottom floor. That's what they're doing now, I think, in that Atlantis in Nassau. But it was a completely different situation in terms of the direction it's coming from. This one, though, the problem with Matthew, not only is it's an intense storm, but it's not just going to go slam into one area and then go inland and then dissipate. It's going to be skimming and teasing the entire east coast of Florida. In fact, I think the worst conditions are going to be Palm Beach and around Melbourne near Kennedy Space Center. Fortunately, there's somewhat less population as you go north of Palm Beach, but still the same influence on the weather, the storm surge. The storm surge is not as big an issue, though, in Florida because it's very shallow. The water drops off. It actually gets deeper as you go north. So, you know, that's why they're saying, though, you got to evacuate. This is not a hurricane of like 90-100-mile-an-hour winds. This is 120 miles an hour. And we talk about this as wind speed. Wind speed, the force of wind is not like a 50-mile-an-hour wind is not half as strong as a 100. You have to square the wind speed. So when you get up to 120, 125 miles an hour, and you're in maybe even a few floors up, which, of course, much of that Gold Coast is, people are living there. They're telling them, get down, either get inland or at least get down to the first floor because some of those buildings, I think, you're going to see blown out. There was some video of a high-rise building in Miami with everyone's storm shutter. The entire is like about probably 25 floors. Everyone had their closed, their storm shutters, which obviously is the right thing to do.
Yeah, when we were down in Cancun a few years ago, they had some, we were watching a show, and all of a sudden, right outside, you know, they were putting up all the sides and stuff like that, you know, plastic and everything else. And then when we came out of the show, they told us, they said, you need to go up. We were up on the eighth floor, and they said, you need to go downstairs. So we actually went in the hotel down to the first level because the upstairs, you know, was right there. It's on the water side, and you just got to make sure, you know. Yeah. Luckily, the following day, we were fine. I know Hurricane Wilma, as you said, which really kind of flooded a lot of those roadways and closed a lot of the people. In fact, I think...
Now, was that Rita or Wilma that you were in there when you were there?
That was... it might have been Rita, I think. Because Wilma was it 98 or is it...
No, Wilma was 2005.
2005, okay. All right, so it was 2005. We were not there in 2005 because they had actually contacted us a day prior. We were getting ready, you know, getting stuff. So late afternoon that Friday, they said,
Don't go.
Do not come down. Okay. People that were there were stranded. They had to close that hotel. The Royal Solaris, which is only about 15 minutes from the airport. So they had to close that area and bring people into the city. So people were stuck there, for another week or so. That main road there was underwater because you've got the lagoon on one side and you've got the ocean on the other. So you're kind of getting it from both sides. And that is dangerous. You know, down there for a honeymoon or, you know, a vacation, and you can't get out because their airport, you know, is very, very busy there, but you still can't get out of there.
Yeah. So it was very good that they did tell you not to come down. Would have saved you. It saved you a lot of hassle had you been down there. So that was Wilma then, 2005, when you weren't there.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And that had been when it was in the Caribbean, still heading west before it made the right turn and then went up towards Florida again. That one had winds of about 155, 160 for a little while. In other words, it wasn't affecting land, but it really went, as it got into the Caribbean. And then as it got to the Cancun area, it had weakened, still a good-sized hurricane, but not 155. But so they all have different scenarios, and you know, again, it was just three or four days ago that even in as early as Tuesday morning, we were still looking at the potential for that northern jet stream to lift this thing up, and we potentially would have had at least a strong Category 1 hurricane Saturday night and Sunday. So we are definitely lucky at this point.
Yeah, and the other. I forget what was the name of the other storm that when my wife, before we were married, she had gone down there with some family members. She had gone down there, and they evacuated them. They told them to leave. They were only there for a couple of days, but they did finally get out of there safely. But yeah, you can't, when they tell you to evacuate and you see the traffic out there on the roads, you know, backing up, they tell you to find higher ground. That's true. You need to do that.
That's what's going on right now in Florida, southeast coast Florida, from really the greater Miami area all the way up into South Carolina. I mean, it's not like it's just a few counties or something. And that's going to be the problem with this storm. It's skimming all the way along the coast. It's almost like it knows the coast because it starts to turn again and stays near or just offshore as it goes by Georgia and South Carolina. Had it just continued north and gone inland into, say, Georgia, yeah, they would have had a lot of rain, but then the winds would calm down. Of course, hurricanes don't like land. So in terms of their winds, the rains can be still intense, but in terms of the wind, the friction, and they're not gaining the latent heat, as we call it, of the oceans. They like water generally about 79, 80 degrees or higher. And that's why when we get our hurricanes here, on the rare occasions, generally from about Cape Hatteras south is the water that the hurricanes like. Once they get north of Hatteras, east-northeast, the northern edge of the Gulf Stream, once they get north of that, the waters drop off significantly. Now, they're not cool this time of the year. They're in the 60s. But that's why the worst storms that we've gotten, and I've talked about this with you and others in the past, the worst hurricanes we get here in New England are the ones that are accelerating really fast as they go by, say, Cape Hatteras, because they spend less time over that cooler water. So it's like a top spinning around real fast. Then you push it up the street. The faster you push it up the street, the faster it's still going by the time it hits you. If it's moving slow and you push it a little slow, it's going to have time to spin down. And that's why the hurricane of 38 was going at 60 miles an hour when it hit. The hurricane Carol was moving at about 45 miles an hour. And so, again, they're all different. And this one would have been in between, probably would have been, a strong Category 1, maybe a low-grade 2 had it hit this weekend. But it won't, so...
In studio with us is also Derek Mulhan is also here this morning. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
I know you're going to be heading out very shortly, right?
Yes. Something.
Coffee with a cop this morning?
Yeah, coffee with a cop. Two places simultaneously. Mm. Honeydew on Washington Street, adjacent to the post office.
Yeah.
And right behind us on South Main Street at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, up by the Ciabra Park, the Ciabra Plaza, right, in that area.
Yes, and I think it's a good chance with everything that's been going on, especially this year with the police and the unrest. If you have a problem or if you have any concerns, go to one of those places. We covered this last year, and it was a huge success. It's free coffee, free donuts, and a chance to really talk to the police departments, the detectives, about concerns, you know, in the areas. And I like the fact that it's Washington Street and South Main Street, so you've got two different parts of the area.
You're also big, with Jim Corbin here. You've been following a lot too. You're a weather person too. You like to follow all this.
I actually went old school yesterday because I was telling Jim when I was younger, my grandmother would get me the hurricane tracking charts.
Oh yeah,
and you do them by pencil. And actually, Channel 12 has a downloadable hurricane tracking chart. So I've been doing it handwritten right now. What scares me right now is my sister lives in Jacksonville. Mm. And Jacksonville is going to be under the gun. My other sister lives in Tampa. They're going to get tropical storm force winds. And my stepmother lives right in the armpit of Florida. So she should be okay with it, probably tropical stuff. But I think my sister in Jacksonville is...
And in fact, Jacksonville is probably the least susceptible place in Florida over the years because of the fact that it's tucked in. It's not on the Gulf Coast, which the water is usually even warmer there. So it's interesting that Jacksonville may get its worst hit in half a century at least.
Yeah,
I bet since she's been down there, she hasn't had much.
No, and the thing is because I mean the Georgia border is only. She's tucked between Georgia and Alabama, and it's like you said, it's an inlet, and usually it just kind of slides
they skim
right through.
Off. Yeah, if you look at the shape of down there as you get towards Jacksonville.
There's really no way it can directly hit them,
which is why this is very unusual. This track is going to be skimming right along the coast all the way up. It's not like just going to slam into a few counties and then go inland and then die out. It's almost going to be like teasing the coast, even right up into about South Carolina. I think North Carolina probably is going to be okay, but
I think the only thing that may save her is she lives in a she lives in a gated community, and her house is actually on a golf course.
Okay.
So there's not a lot of trees around. I think that's a plus and a minus, because
are there wires, overhead wires?
No. It's all in the town. But the thing is that she's more susceptible to the winds without trees. You know, her house is kind of unprotected.
She easily my somewhat educated guess. I can almost in picture. She will get maybe some windows blown out, but keep the power on. That sounds, I don't mean to sound negative.
No.
That would be the scenario. If you're saying she's exposed, unless they want to board up the windows, they'll probably have some, damage around. You know, if they have chairs around, they don't get rid of them, they might be blowing away. But I bet they'll keep their power. Whereas you have these, around, just like around here, it's more neighborhoods with overhead power lines, and the wires are going through the trees. And that's where you'll get most of the power outages, just like we had with Irene, remember, in 2011.
Well, I know after that, I mean, this whole summer, and at least in Pawtucket, I know National Grid's, I think, is doing it statewide. This whole summer, they were just chopping down trees, and they didn't have to get the permission from the owners. They said anything that's being, in the way, they were cutting down whole trees, but, and then they were putting up new sort of transponders on top of all the wires to keep them steady. Listen, there's nothing you can do about Mother Nature. I hope my sister's going to be okay. Like I said, I think my sister in Tampa, I think she'll get tropical storm from what I saw. But the outward winds on this thing is just unbelievable. I mean, they're talking, Category 4, if it hasn't already reached, possible Category 5 by tomorrow, by tonight or tomorrow, which is scary,
Yeah, it's type of situation where it is coming from an unusual direction. I just mentioned this with Don. We had a hurricane. Was she down there in 2005?
Yes.
She must remember Hurricane Wilma, which tracked south of there, but that came in from the southwest, and it hit the coastal areas that typically don't get it from the west. The wind was actually coming in from the west for a time, and my mother was down there, living down there at the time, and her building, windows were blowing out because their storm center shutters were on the east side, where typically that's where they worry about. Now they've learned, we got to put storm shutters on both sides. Now, is it your sister, you said?
Yes.
Is she? Have you been there? Do they have things they can cover the windows with, like those?
Oh yeah. Okay. I mean, they've got the closable shutters that you can shut.
Not just for sun, to keep the sun. No.
These are storm shields for they're decorative as regular, but they're also
very strong.
Very strong where you close them, and there's a place to drill in when the windows were installed.
And how far inland is she from the ocean?
I would say only probably about 30 miles inland.
Okay. Well, that's obviously far enough inland that you're not going to have to evacuate because of the ocean storm surge.
No, that's the thing. I mean, where she lives is, if a storm surge got to her, that's a pretty big storm surge to get all the way up to that golf course and flood it out.
The only thing I can envision, if there was a tidal river that came inland through the Jacksonville area. I can't picture the exact.
No, there's where she used to live in Port St. Lucie. She would have been getting wrecked. Yeah. But I think fingers crossed. She's going to do the right thing, and if she has to evacuate, she'll evacuate. She's not she's not a dumb person, and neither is her husband or my godson nephew. So, it's one of those things that it's just you just can't do it. But thank God for the jet stream up here, which is going to blow this thing out to sea for us. Which is, Tony Petracca, when I watch him on Channel 12, he's like good news for us, but by no means don't leave out Florida in your prayers, because
Had we got from earlier in the week, it was looking like Florida was going to get a very light effect from it.
We were looking at a direct hit.
That's it, because the northern jet stream, as I've been talking about, was going to pick that up earlier, and so it was going to make the turn north further out at sea, and Florida was less under the gun. Once we saw that northern thing lift out further north. It's the same feature, though, that's going to bring us the shower Saturday night. Then that allowed it to make the turn later, and that's why Florida now.
Well, that previous jet stream looked like it was going to be like a suction. Mm-hmm. It was just going to suck it right into. And that, I mean,
it was our worst case scenario overall. Yeah. Yeah. That type of jet stream, and now, as you were saying, and Tony was saying, you heard him say, our win in a sense is their loss, because now it's going to affect millions of people down there all the way up into South Carolina. So
I'm going to hold you on that for a second. We have Gina's standing by with our final update on the traffic out there on the roadways. Gina.
Well, we've seen big improvements through Attleboro coming out of Rhode Island on 95 northbound. Still looks great all the way up past Mechanic Street, Walpole Street. Heavy getting up toward Neponset Street, and that's about it. 495 north, still very heavy, though, coming out of Milford. The expressway inbound, full and overflowing. 24 northbound, we still have that slow traffic. We're stretching back just past Harrison Boulevard and Westgate Mall. Looking at Providence, we did have an accident in Pawtucket. That's cleared out, but we still have some residual delays now trying to get down into downtown Providence from right around School Street, 295 between 95 and Attleboro and Route 6 in Johnston. Looks great. So if you want to use 295 over to Route 6, even the 610 connector is starting to look a little bit better. 295 south, though, still heavy coming out of Johnston into Cranston. We're also getting word of a crash 195 westbound before the Washington Bridge. You're backed up into Seekonk currently. And we have a pretty decent ride on the south coast right now. However, if you're heading out to the Cape, Bourne Bridge looks okay, but we still have miles of backup. Looks like we've got about 2 miles of backup getting on the Mid-Cape Highway, heading out from 134 in South Dennis, trying to approach a roadwork zone. And this has been going on daily, so you need to plan some extra time. The roadwork zone looks like it's in between Depot Street and 124 is roughly where this roadwork zone is, but we just have a lot of backup, and it's been a daily occurrence. So you need to think about that if you need to head out to the Cape this week. Earlier problems on Route 4, it's still slow on 4 South, but the crash is clear down by Oak Hill. Unfortunately, we're seeing spillover onto Route 102. So 10 Rod Road taking a little extra volume, and we're still pretty heavy on Route 4. Trying to get down toward Oak Hill Road, but it is improving. Next report coming up tomorrow morning. I'm Gina Brown, your AM 1320 traffic.
All right, Gina, thanks once again. We're going to take another quick break here, be back with Jim Corbin, and we still have Derek Mulhan in studio for a little bit as well.
The Attleboro Art Museum's Art Lovers Book Club presents a discussion of The Muralist by B.A. Shapiro on Saturday, October 15th from 2 to 4 p.m. Author B.A. Shapiro will be present to discuss her novel with readers of The Muralist, as well as those that have not yet read the novel. Ms. Shapiro will be available for a book signing at the end of the event. This event is free and open to all. Seating is limited, so please reserve your space by calling 508-222-2644, extension 10, or email office@attleboroartsmuseum.org.
Amigo Incorporated, located at 33 Perry Avenue in Attleboro, is the result of one family's journey to find answers for their autistic child. Founded by a small group of parents in 1971, Amigo has grown to include more than 30 residential homes, a fully accredited school, and applied behavioral analysis in homes, schools, and daycares. Amigo touches the lives of over 300 families in Massachusetts, offering services and programs for both children and adults with autism spectrum disorders and other developmental disabilities. For more information, please visit their website at www.amigoinc.org.
What better way to kick off the Thanksgiving holiday than with a flat, fast 5K? The Attleboro YMCA's Gobble Wobble 5K takes place on Thanksgiving morning at their Pleasant Street branch. The 5K starts at 8 a.m. with race day registration beginning at 7. The course is a fast, flat course through the Attleboro corporate campus. Runners can participate individually or as a team. Child Watch is available for the children of runners. Register online at attleboroymca.org. Stop by the Norton Public Library on October 6th at 6:30 p.m. for a personalized virtual tour of the cemeteries of Norton. Brenda Sullivan will present a 90-minute lecture on cemetery art, history, and symbolism in a virtual tour called Welcome to the Graveyard. The tour will take attendees from colonial burial grounds into 21st century locations, examining the evolution of cemeteries and gravestones. Brenda's presentation will display photographs of all of Norton's historic cemeteries. Call the library at 508-285-0265 for more information about this event.
All right, 8:41 on this Thursday morning. Meteorologist Jim Corbin live in studio along with Derek Mulhan from AACS here with us this morning. Talking about all this, Derek is, you know, has been into weather for a long, long time as well. And you're saying that, that we were kind of joking around earlier about Matthew and Nicole, you know, if happens, you know, what would happen if something like that, you know, if they merge together. But it has happened.
It has happened rarely. More often, if storms get close like that, they call the Fujiwara effect. They'll spin around each other, almost like one's coming one way and the other one, it's almost like they know there's a central point. And that is, some of the models are showing that. And that would be the situation that could track it back southwest towards, say, South Florida, maybe getting into the Northwest Caribbean, while Nicole stays off to the northeast. The other scenario has them merging. And what happens is, the storm Matthew drops south, weakens, and then starts to merge with the Nicole and moves back to the northeast again as an intensifying system. And in fact, early this morning, I saw a couple of the models were doing that. And then late next week, believe it or not, brings it east of New England, maybe up towards the Canadian Maritimes. Oh. So all these scenarios, this storm next week could be in the Canadian Maritimes or it could be in the southern Gulf of Mexico. And so it's really what happens. Part of the reason is this season, and I've mentioned this lately, because of our drought, the jet stream is unusually far to the north, even for the summertime. So the steering currents have been weak, and that's why a month ago, and I think, Derek, you'll remember this one too, Hermine, was a weaker system, but it was had been a hurricane, and that's the one that did a loop-de-loop down south of Cape Cod. And in fact, Nantucket had 55-mile-an-hour winds for a time. New Bedford had about 50-mile-an-hour winds, and it looped around on its own. There was no other Nicole around or anything, but although Hermine, then it would have been the guy's name. But no, but anyway, but again, all these interactions have an effect. And in fact, the years that we've had storms, of course, the last significant one was Irene, then Sandy, of course, slammed back into New Jersey. The year we have storms oftentimes is a very quiet season. This has not been quiet in terms of the amounts of storms. And so this is typically not the season that we're going to get hit, which would have made Matthew very unusual. The active seasons, usually we don't get hit, and it's the way the jet stream is playing out. But that happened in, if you remember, 2005, we went into the Greek alphabet with storms. Like there was like 27 storms or something. We had no threats that entire season. A couple of close calls. The year we had Hurricane Bob, 1991, there were only 7 storms that season. But all it takes is one to hit you and you think it was a bad season.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we've been lucky over the past few years. Yeah. I mean, with everything that could have happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other thing that I people don't realize is if they don't watch the weather, you know, they just watch the headlines and then they start panicking. And, you know, if they look at the meat and bones, I mean, if this had happened, you know, what, maybe a couple weeks later, because the water down in Florida is what, 85, it's like bath water. It's like 85, 90 degrees, and that's what gives it all its power.
Well, and in fact,
it needs to go over some cold water to dissipate.
Yeah. 79 degrees is generally about the cutoff. Anything lower than that, and the storms have a tendency to slowly wind down. This year, because of the extreme warmth in the northern hemisphere, the water temperatures, even in the tropics, are running above average by a few degrees, and that is adding more fuel to the hurricane. That's why, if you might remember the other day, Matthew went from like 90 miles an hour to 150 in about less than 24 hours, because it hit that warm pocket of water in the Caribbean, which was running close to 88 degrees or so.
Yeah, you know? And then it went through the mountains of
which
barely touched it. I mean, it went through the mountains, and then as soon as it got back in that warm water, it went from, I think it was category, it got all the way down to a category 2.
True, yeah.
As soon as it passed the mountains, 3, and then back up to 4, because it got into that warm water, like an old man going into a bathtub, you know, and just started circulating again. You know, it's just...
Yeah, and actually, the storm coming from that direction took almost the perfect, it's almost like it knows, it's almost like this Matthew is, and again, this is obviously jokingly about it, it almost knows where it went between the two islands. Anything left or right going through the islands would have hit the higher mountains directly of Haiti and the Dominican Republic, and had it gone a little further west into central Cuba, the mountains there are not quite as high, but they're high enough, but it went right between so that most of its circulation did not get ripped apart completely. And now it's taking aim, right now as we speak, it's just about on Nassau in the Bahamas, and now it's headed, instead of going inland and just dying out with it, it's going to, looks like, it's almost like it's alive and it wants to stay right along the coast all the way up into South Carolina. You know, it's almost like it's been the, if you want to talk a perfect storm in a bad sense, it's actually doing that. It went right over that east.
It's got a sensibility, like it knows what it wants.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and again, obviously it's not alive, but but this one, by the unluck of the draw, looks like it's almost like a worst case scenario. It avoided getting the mountains heavily into the mountains, and now it's just
which really should have knocked it, and it knocked it, but not for
many
too
times
long.
In the past we've seen that.
And Don, before I head out for coffee with a cop, if you don't mind, I'd like to ask Jim a question.
Sure.
I've read about it, but for the listeners who don't know out there, we know that planes fly right into the eye of the hurricane to get all the millibars. What are those planes? Can you? I know what they are, but can you explain to the folks what these planes are made of and how they can actually get through
exactly.
there?
I don't know exactly. I know they're made very unbelievably strong, the wings and everything. And they're not jets. They're usually propellers. I think I've heard this, that you actually have usually two propellers on each wing of those. You actually have better stability believe it or not, as opposed to flying a jet, which would have a tendency. Now, you could fly the jets way up over the storm, but in terms of going right in it, there's actually, for some reason, I don't know the physics quite yet, but maybe I'll never know it, but the propeller planes, built strong, can actually get through the strong winds, and then of course eventually they get out into the eye, and what they'll do is
They look like old school bombers, and they have two propellers on each side in case one dies out. Or what they'll do is when they get if people want to Google this, it's fascinating, these planes, because there's so much equipment on them, and they're big and strong, and there are sometimes where on jets you can't shut down an engine. But when they're going in, if they need to shut down like the right propeller and the left propeller and just use the front propellers and just kind of ride so it's a steady ride through, they'll do that. Then they'll fire up the propellers again. And it's really a fascinating thing of them, trying to, they've got, four or five guys on this thing. So, they're shutting one down, shutting this one down, keeping all four going on, get their results, and then they get the hell out of there.
You need some Dramamine though on those flights.
Oh, geez, I'd be green as grass. If I was taking one of those flights. But I got to get going. Jim, always a pleasure.
Derek.
Dominic, thank you very much once again. Coffee with a Cop, South Main Street, Dunkin' Donuts, and Honeydew up on Washington Street next to the
post office.
Yeah, it's a good thing to get out there, talk about your problems if you have any in the neighborhood, or if not, just enjoy a cup of free cup of coffee on the police and hang out with them. I mean, they're good people.
Yeah,
we put
to know some of the people that work the streets every day.
Yeah, we put so much responsibility on the police. Mm. Even if you're just going to go over there, don't just say thank you. I think that goes a long way. So, I'm out. Thank you, Dom, for the time. Jim, like I said, always a pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. One other thing that we were talking about, earlier about these other storms. My wife Carol emailed me a little while ago. It was Hurricane Mitch that she remembered when she was up there for only a couple of days. You know, her and her family were out there this is before I was married with her. So it was a Hurricane Mitch. She stayed a couple of days, two or three days, whatever it was, and then they were told to evacuate, and they did. So they got back up here safely, back up to this area.
I do remember that storm, and if I recall, it had been either a Category 4 or a 5 as it was heading west towards the Yucatan. Mm-hmm. And so it was a pretty confident forecast, so they knew even a couple of days in advance, well, let's get people out right now. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm sure that was the issue with that. But yes, there's another M storm, Mitch.
Yeah, exactly.
But not that it means anything, but Mitch, boy, I remember that one in terms of forecasting. That one I had just started at Channel 12, as a matter of fact. That one eventually, I think, continued west into the Gulf of Mexico and went into like northern Mexico near Brownsville, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people need to be aware, if they need to evacuate, even up here too. If we've had, some things up this in this area, as last week we had an anniversary. At the end of the month, we had Gloria, back in 85. people tend to, you know, are smart enough to heed the warnings. But back then in the early days,
no,
they didn't have all these things, Hurricane Carol and Hurricane Hazel and all these other ones, the year 38 hurricane, you didn't have. And then thank God the Providence, after, you know, at some point, finally did, you know, well when they did the hurricane barrier there at Fox Point.
Yeah, the Carol was the final straw that hit in 54. Slightly a grade lower than 38 in terms of intensity, but it was bad enough. But think about it. In 1938, I think it was a Sunday when the storm hit. It hit land, hit Long Island about 3 in the afternoon. I think it was a Sunday. So everyone was, you know, there was no school, I think. I want to say it was a Sunday. It doesn't really matter. But that morning, the story goes that people thought it was just going to be a storm going out east of Cape Cod, and it was going to be a rainy day with maybe 30, 40 mile an hour winds. And that was up until even that morning, because we did not have planes flying into these things, monitoring them. The forecasting just wasn't as good. Mm. And so think about it. Think of a major hurricane headed this way. Say, here we are now at almost 9 in the morning, and we're still thinking, nothing bad is going to happen. And it ends up hitting, say, 9 hours later in 1938. People are twiddling their thumbs. So here we are, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock this evening, we get hit by a hurricane with 130 mile an hour winds. And earlier, and here we are at 9 o'clock this morning, we didn't know it was going to hit us, and it hits us 6 this evening. That's how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And of course, the worst of that was the storm surge on the south coast from about Stonington, Connecticut, through all of Rhode Island into parts of Buzzards Bay. But that's the real thing with New England is its power outages inland. Flooding rains is sometimes an issue, especially on the rivers. But for the most part, you're not going to look out your backyard in a major hurricane and have your backyard underwater. But you're going to have trees come down or large branches come down on wires. Well, if you live near the coast where there might not be too many trees, you're going to get a storm surge. So there are two ways in New England of getting bad stuff. The third is probably flooding near the river, like Connecticut River or whatever. But the two ways of New England getting bad situations in hurricanes, losing power for a few days because trees falling on wires or even trees falling on your house, or if you live down by the ocean, the storm surge. And that's what happened in 38. I mean, there were 600 dead in that, and about 550 of them were from people drowning in the storm surge. Just bad story after story. There's a book, 1938, it's called Hurricane, it's Disaster in 38 or something, and it's story after story of people just getting swept in the storm surge, and yet 10 miles inland, you know, it was bad. People had trees coming down, but they, you know, they lost power for a couple of days, but they lived, you know. Mm-hmm. So that is what we have to really worry about here in New England. That's what we could have been dealing with this weekend, but fortunately not.
Yeah, and good for this weekend, you know, with a lot of activities going on, Columbus Day weekend. The last thing a lot of these organizations needed to do is cancel everything at the last minute. But it has done. That has happened in the past.
It has. Well, think about it. We talked about this earlier in the week when we were thinking the hurricane had a shot of getting us. The Red Sox play at Fenway against Game 3 on Sunday.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
They would have. We mentioned that. Oh, geez, it could be a threat. Maybe it might have just gone by, but obviously that game would have been canceled. You don't want people maybe getting out, and then the hurricane starts to move in as people finish the game, you know, whatever. So, and in fact,
it looks clear for tonight in Cleveland with the Sox, right?
I believe so. Yeah. I think, which is unusual. Cleveland can sometimes have not the best of weather. And on this date, I always like to bring up, we had not a major hurricane, but we had Hurricane Daisy that hit, and it went just east of Cape Cod. It had been about a Category 2. When east of Cape Cod, what did it do here? It put us on the weaker wind side, but we had very heavy rains, flooding rains, about 6 to 10 inches of rain, and very strong winds, but not hurricane force, October 6, 1962. And again, just an indication that might have been what was going to play out this weekend, a storm that passed just to our east. We had some strong winds, a lot of heavy flooding rains, and then it moves out and then sweeps out for several days next week of being beautiful. But again, here we are, 1962, so what, 54 years ago today, the same thing might have panned out this weekend for us, but it won't.
That's true. We're here for another few more minutes. Jim Corbin live in studio with us. Of course, Paul Healy coming your way in just a couple of moments. Dave Blessinger, the director of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest with the Attleboro Community Theater, will be live in studio in just a couple of moments. You know, as far as this area goes, we have seen our, we've seen devastating, we've seen things, you know, with these hurricanes, but I think this weekend, as you said, this could, you know, it's looping down. Have other storms like this come back up
and hit
this area like that?
Yes. What year was it? I think it was 1964, Hurricane Esther.
Okay.
Of course, in those days, they were still all women's names. That's why you never hear about men's from before 1979. But Hurricane Esther came up just about like what Matthew was projected to do earlier this week. But then it's looped about 200 miles south of New England. It did the same thing that it's probably going to do, but it was further north. It was a close call. It looped around and then did what might happen next week with this Nicole Matthew issue. It looped back around. It was on its own, though. It wasn't merging with anything else. And it looped back up as a somewhat weaker system and crossed Cape Cod about 3 or 4 days later. So, again, that... excuse me. If you look up, can you look up Hurricane Esther? I know you like to look at these things. But you'll see, I'm pretty sure that was the one that had the loop on it. It'll show the track.
Yeah. What year were we looking at? There was one in 57.
Okay. Does it show the track? Esther, you know, E-S-T-H-E-R, I think it was.
What's
the other year that it shows it was? There might have been a couple of them since they didn't
retire. 61.
61, that's the one, I think. Does it show it? Is it a track?
Yeah, there's all the spaghetti things right there. All these. See it? Wow, holy mackerel. Look at all these lines on there. Yeah, yeah. You Google Hurricane Esther 1961, and there's like, yeah.
You look, see the loop?
Yeah, I sure do.
That one, of course, I was just barely born then, but so I don't remember it, but I know of it, and it's one of the, this is exactly what could play out with Matthew, except Esther was just south of us, and it was headed our way. It was almost a direct hit. Then it got that, I'm almost positive, just like what's happening now, the jet stream missed it, left it behind, and then the next one came up, did grab it.
Boy, I tell you, I mean, when you really look at that, like, wow. I mean, it was like all over the place. It can be devastating. These things, you can't turn around and say, okay, this is not going to happen to us, because eventually, unfortunately, some of them do.
The thing with hurricanes, and I'll end on this, they're typically watched from 2,000 miles or more away.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of time to watch it. Therefore, there's a lot of time for changes in the forecast. In the wintertime, normally most of our storms form within a day or two, and then they're on us right away. So there's no time for a lot of conjecture as to whether, whereas these hurricanes, most of them, in this Matthew's been around for about 20 days now as it came off Africa, and now finally it's going to hit the United States today and tomorrow.
All right. Well, I know that you'll be back with us. You'll be talking back with Paul in a little bit. Throughout the day, you'll be having some updates as well. And you'll join back tomorrow morning just after 6 with me on the air as well.
We'll have another update and see if Matthew and Nicole are trying to get anything going.
Yeah, anything
no,
going
but
on.
Let's not make light of it. But again, very active pattern out there this season. Fortunately, we're going to miss it, at least for now.
Yeah, sounds good. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay.
And thanks for coming and stopping by. And, of course, we'll do it again in another 3 or 4 weeks live back in studio again. All right, that's going to wrap it up.